Well, you hear that bell, so go get your Bible and pull up a chair and turn up your radio and become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're looking at the prophet Ezekiel in the book of Ezekiel that is found in the Old Testament. And we have come to Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. And the passage reads, "Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of Jehovah from his place. And I heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures as they touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, even the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in the bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. And the hand of Jehovah was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Ibeh, and dwelt by the river Chebar, and to where they dwelt. And I sat there overwhelmed among them 7 days." Well, we're going to be looking at that in more detail in just a moment, and we'll be turning to Elam's notes on that passage. E.A. Elam wrote a Sunday school lesson for this. That was for the Sunday schools of July the 18th, 1924. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Before then, I need to remind you the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. That Wednesday evening Bible study is our community heart-to-heart Bible study. We send out the publication to every household between McMinnville and Biola, house to house, heart to heart. And we use that like we would use a Sunday school book in our class there. And if you get this publication, you may want to bring it with you to this class, or if you don't have it with you, we'll have extra copies there. And study with us as we look at what the Bible says about current topics and things that have to do with people's lives. That publication is rich in that, and I hope you're receiving this in the mail and enjoy that. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's return to Elam's notes. And we read in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 12, "Then the Spirit lifted me up and took me away." Ezekiel had been prepared and was ready to go. In what way he was transported by the Spirit to the place where he was to warn the captives, we cannot say. Behind him he heard the voice of a great rushing, saying, "Blessed be the glory of Jehovah from his place, and the noise of the wings of the living creatures as they touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them." This noise is described in chapters 1, verses 24 and 25. There Ezekiel had said, "I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a noise of tumult, like the noise of a host when they stood. They let down their wings, and there was a voice above the firmament that was over their heads, and when they stood, they let down their wings." The text says that he went in bitterness and heat of spirit, the hand or the power of God supporting and encouraging him, to the ones in captivity at Tel Abib in the river Chebar. And there he sat overwhelmed among them 7 days. He was overwhelmed with grief over the fearful condition of the heart of the people and the punishment that they had to endure. During these 7 days, God gave Ezekiel no immediate revelation. he may not have yet been prepared to receive and deliver it, either because of his bitterness of spirit or great grief for his people. Let's look at the book as a whole. Smith Bible Dictionary talks about the book of Ezekiel and tells us that his predictions are marvelously varied. He has instances of visions and symbolic actions and similitudes and parables and proverbs and poems and allegories and open prophecies. You can divide his book into 9 sections. Ezekiel's call begins in chapter 1 and continues to somewhere into chapter 3. There's the general carrying out of the commission from chapter 3:16 to chapter 7. The rejection of the people because of their idolatrous worship is from chapters 8 through 11. The sins of the age are rebuked in detail in chapters 12 through 19. The nature of the judgment and the guilt which is caused is found in chapters 20 and verse 23, and the meaning of the judgment and the punishment they were now enduring is in chapter 24. God's judgment is denounced on 7 heathen nations in Ezekiel chapter 25 through 32. And the prophecies after the destruction of Jerusalem concerning the future condition of Israel are in chapters 33 through 39. And then finally, the glorious consummation in chapters 40 through 48. Now we read about false teachers, covetous shepherds. You might notice the 3 P's, the prophets, the priest, and the preachers. The priests, the Levites and prophets of the Old Testament, were the teachers of the Old Testament and are the ones who are called the shepherds. The priests and the Levites were to teach the people the law of God. The priests stood between the people and God, representing them to God, offering sacrifices and making atonement for them. The high priest made both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He must be a man who could bear gently with the ignorant and the erring. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. For every high priest, being taken from among men, is appointed for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can bear gently with the ignorant and the erring, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, and by reason thereof is bound, for as the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. As a high priest, Jesus represents the people to God, and he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, making propitiation for the sins of the people. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 read, Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. How fearful, then, the consequences when the priests were wicked and rebellious against God. Through prophets, God not only foretold future events, but taught his will to the people. They presented the word of God and in this way represented God to the people. A prophet was called a man of God. Moses and Elijah and other prophets are so designated. Saul's servant said to him, There is in this city a man of God, and he's referring there to Samuel. Isaiah called upon heaven and earth to give ear to what he had to say, for Jehovah hath spoken, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2. So God spake through Moses, through Jesus, as that prophet and his inspired apostles God has spoken to us and must be obeyed. We read in the book of Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, "Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these words of thine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." In Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, we read, "Moses indeed said, A prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me. To him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken unto that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, we read that God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us by his Son. And then in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest haply we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us through them that heard, God also bearing them witness, both by signs and wonders and by manifold powers and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." How fearful then the sin now of those who claim to be teachers and preachers of God's word, in changing it, adding to it, or taking from it, and making it a matter of gain to themselves. Preachers now, or since inspiration ceased, are not men of God in the sense of being inspired, and certainly they are not ambassadors of Christ in the sense that the apostles were. That term, ambassadors, seems to be referring to the apostles in the book of 2 Corinthians in verse 20. That's a special word. Certainly we all are to be representatives of Christ, but not in that official sense that the apostles were. For when the ambassador speaks, he speaks with all the authority of the king from which he came. And while we do not do that, the apostles did. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, "In all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation, we are ambassadors. Therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us, we beseech you, in behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God." It is either ignorance or presumption which leads any to make such false claims today, as though they are specially endowed to speak for God. All are charged now, most solemnly, to preach and teach only that which has been revealed already, and to add nothing to it, or to take nothing away from it. Paul writes in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, "But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach unto you any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be anathema."